Hello and welcome to episode 154 of the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Peter Williams, and I'm back with Michael Alvaro to chat all things Pathway football. Michael, how's things?
Yeah, pretty good. Obviously, another pretty jam-packed week of footy with the boys and girls, but good to be back in studio with you and looking forward to getting stuck into this episode.
Absolutely. It was a pretty massive Easter weekend, of course. The footy started early and finished early too. So, you know, there was plenty of games across the Coates Talent League. We got seven of those to cover. Of course, we're going to have some sample football and the return of the waffle. So there's plenty coming up on this episode. So let's start out in Victoria, where round three of the Talent League action took place. Of course, a bit of wet weather across the program. So from Thursday night, give us a bit of a rundown. What we had was obviously Murray Bush Rangers 13-10-88 defeating the Giants Academy 3-9-27. Meanwhile, the GWV Rebels got up by 7 points, 9-8-62 to the Geelong Falcons 7-13-55. Moving on to the next day, of course, we had Eastern Rangers 13-14-92 defeat the Northern Knights 8-8-56. Dandenong Stingrays defeated the Gippsland Power by 27 points, 14-13-97 to 10-10-70. The Calder Cannons got the better of the Western Jets, 13-17-95 to 11-6-72. The Dragons beat their rivals Oakley Chargers easily, 11-9-75 to 4-13-37, an inaccurate Chargers side there. And then, strangely, a standalone game on the Saturday. What a novelty. Bendigo Pioneers won against Tasmania Devils 14-13-97 to 8-11-59 in that game. So plenty to digest from that set of results. Michael, what was your game of the round?
Yeah, well, there weren't really many tight ones. So I think obviously the GWV Geelong game decided by 7 points was the only one sort of decided by a single digit margin. The average margin was 32 points, but I think I most enjoyed the Bendigo-Tasmania clash, of course, on the Saturday, as you alluded to, which is a bit of a novelty. But I got to sit back and relax to that one with one of our analysts, Declan Reeve, doing the scouting notes, and had the pleasure of watching Harley Reid go about it in midfield and Colby McKercher as well for Tasmania. So there are plenty of recruiters there, plenty of important people watching, and it was a good battle. Those two were arguably best of field as well. So that's probably the one I most enjoyed watching. Of course, Malik Gordon returned as well for the Pioneers, and they looked super, super impressive.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there was a clear standout player of the week. We had a bit of a theme with our players of the week this week from the Eastern Rangers. But to no one's surprise, who was that player?
It was Nick Watson, the Wizard. So I guess for the second time this year, obviously, we had the Sydney Swans Academy doing the double with their players of the week. And now it's the Eastern Rangers' turn. And Watson was outstanding against the Northern Knights. The Rangers had their game moved to Box Hill, of course, from Preston. And you know, that's their home turf. So they took toll, and Watson started out forward where he usually is, playing a bit of a higher role as he's gotten used to this year. He got 34 disposals and 2-3. He also spent a lot of time down back in the second half. So, that didn't really deter him, and he took a few kick-ins, tried a few different things. So had little trouble finding the ball, obviously. We know he can do it in wet conditions as well, given how good he was with Vic Metro last year. I think he kicked 3 goals in the wet up in Geelong in one of the representative games at under 18 level. So, I mean, yeah, he was fantastic and very, very much deserving of player of the week this time around.
Obviously a player with immense natural talent. He'd be right up there, probably behind Harley Reid in terms of natural talent, but obviously his size is always going to be a question mark as to where he goes. So where do you sort of see him ending up on draft night?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously the Rangers and Coach Lauren Moorcroft have tried to, I guess, add a bit of versatility to his game. He can play in midfield, but probably won't end up there at the next level. So they're trying him at either end of the ground. And I think really we know how good he is forward of the ball and inside 50, and that's where he's going to end up at the next level. So, you know, do you pay a top five pick for a, you know, 170 centimetre small forward? That's, I guess, the big question. And I think I'd have him towards the back end of the top 10. Obviously, he can do some magical things, and on pure talent, he's, you know, top five. But that's not how it works. You have to factor in, I guess, everything and his physical traits as well. So, probably the back end of the top 10 is his draft range. Whether that translates to his power rankings position remains to be seen.
Absolutely. Of course, a little while off the power rankings, but throw ahead to that, I should say. Meanwhile, speaking of Easton, while we're sticking on that, we're a little while away from the draft, but there was a player who stood up for the Rangers, showed his credentials on Friday. So who was that?
Yeah, well, the Rangers are really strong. It was Clay Tucker, the big man, of course, who's come back as an overager, and he looked pretty dominant a day with greasy conditions, so not really conducive to taking big marks and things like that. But, he used his big frame, 204-centimetre frame, to get around the ground, popped up with four grabs, and they were all pretty impressive. So, he did it up forward where he kicked two goals, but also dropped back for a couple of intercepts. He had 20 hit-outs in the ruck against Will Green, who we know is an AFL Academy member. So a pretty impressive all-round display, and, people who follow the draft would have likely seen that he's attracted some mid-season draft attention, and that's probably deservedly so, given he was a combine invitee last year. Obviously, he was overlooked, but he's still in the frame and playing pretty well.
And we do see with the mid-season draft, they tend to take a risk on talls because, I mean, some clubs only offer them for the year to see if they can develop any further. But it is an option that if they think they've come a long way in that short space and they can develop them further for a long-term gain, then they take that chance.
Yeah, it's traditionally been a tall's draft. So a lot of clubs, a lot of NAB League or Coates Talent League regions are leaning towards sort of producing those talls, bringing them back, prioritising them as the 19-year-old prospects. And we see that again with Clay Tucker.
Yeah, and outside of Box Hill, who were some of the others that impressed you from a top and overage perspective around the grounds?
Yeah, well, Darcy Wilson, I guess I'll go in chronological order with most of the games and touch on a few players. Darcy Wilson for Murray, of course, in the round opener in Lavington. He was fantastic with 23 touches and 3 goals too. Just super classy, took a couple of big grabs up forward. And he's one who's sort of pushing around that top 10 range, you would have thought. I like the game of Zane Dersma. He didn't have as much of the ball as he did last time out, but 16 touches and a goal. His aerial range is fantastic as well. Super clean at clearance. Tom Hanley in Gippy's midfield was good. Of course, Dersma's, I guess, that point of difference because they've got a couple who are like Hanley, the sort of smaller types, the sub 180 centimetres, but they worked together pretty well. They lost, so goes to show how well Dandenong went. Billy Wilson was one of their best off half-back again, and Ziggy Toledo kicked 6 goals. Over with Calder, their win over Western, saw Mahmoud Taha have a pretty big game. Hugo Garcia was pretty impressive again, kicked 3 goals. He's a pretty crafty left-footed forward. And Jordan Croft, he kicked 4 behinds, had a touch of the Matthew Jeffersons, if you remember him from last year in the NAB League, of course. And I think he kicked, 4 behinds and flew for his marks and looked pretty promising, but just couldn't get it done. And then I'll touch on a couple of players from the Oakley-Sandy game. Of course, Will Brown kicked 3 goals as skipper of the winning Dragons side. And Will Lorenz was back in action. He kicked a goal from about 20 touches. Probably looks like really one of the few Chargers top ages that'll get draft attention this year.
Yeah, and of course, from those that are available this year and whatnot, we move on to those that are available from next year, some of the bottom ages who have been really impressive. So who are some of those across the league that really impressed?
Yeah, again, with Murray, Josh Murphy, a bit like Darcy Wilson, hit the scoreboard and looked really good aerially. So I think just the way he sort of attacked the ball in flight, the way he could take it at its highest point was pretty impressive. So he's about a 190-centimetre medium forward, played probably a bit taller. I think his addition kind of allowed Connor O'Sullivan to swing back and play most of the game there. So he played an important role for the Bushies. Nash King was super impressive again for Calder. He's got a really good turn of speed and was handy through the middle. Weston, on the other hand, they had Darcy Weeks return and he rotated back through the midfield and was pretty handy, got some good numbers. James Barrett and Archer Day Wicks are another couple to impress for Bendigo though. in their big win. So maybe a couple more to look forward to watching over the next couple of years there for the Pioneers.
Yeah, that's a wrap on the Coates Talent League for another week. We're going to move over to South Australia now, where there was another four games making up round three, of course, in the under-18s competition there. So, Michael, what was your match of the round this week?
Well, it wasn't my match of the round, but it was Micah Harnes, of course, our fantastic South Australian correspondent who chose the Eagles and Panthers clash. It was the Panthers who got up in that one, of course, 74-61. We saw guys in that South Adelaide lineup like Phoenix Hargrave, who was their leading possession getter with 22 disposals and 8 clearances, but others with a lot of class who perhaps didn't have the numbers, like Sid Draper with his 14 touches, Benny Barrett, had 2 goals, and Jack DeLean kicked 3-4. So they've got some really classy movers. It's just whether they can all sort of gel. On the flip side for Eagles, of course, Rome Burgoyne's racked up plenty of possessions over the first few rounds. He had another 29, and Archer Charles kicked 4 goals. So some impressive performances out of that game at Woodville Oval.
Bit of interest there for Port, of course. Burgoyne and Barrett are a couple of names floating around there. So
Yeah. The NGAs and Father Sons have been pretty kind to Port, I guess, in recent years. So they might get another couple over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and across the other three games, who were the ones that stood out for you?
Yeah, well, Sturt had a pretty big win over Norwood. Absolutely smashed him. The likes of Locke Rawlinson and Lucas Slade had plenty of the ball, kicked 2 goals each, and Jasper Maher kicked 6. So big game from him. Glenelg got up over Westies by an even 2 goals in the first game of the round. Ashton Moyer returned for the Bay. He kicked 2 goals. It was pretty quiet. And Will Patton, of course, was fantastic again for West Adelaide. Had about 21 touches down back. He's the general back there. And the final game, of course, North Adelaide got up over Central District. I believe that's the Bulldogs' first loss for the season, which, you know, they've done pretty well considering they were the Wooden Spooner last year. Trent Totoli for Centrals and Angus Tully for North had 31 touches each. Kay McAuliffe as well, the AFL Academy member, 28 touches, a goal and 7 clearances. So he's continuing some pretty fine form out in South Australia.
And there are a few at league level as well that really showed their stuff. Tell us a bit about them.
Yeah, well, Logan Evans was the player focus this week from the Sandful, and he turned out in his second league game for the Redlegs and was pretty impressive. He's been compared to Max Michelani, who, of course, was one of his teammates last year and was drafted to the Crows. Evans is probably doesn't get it as much as Max Michelani in a, I guess, holistic footballing sense, but he's pretty exciting. Like, he had 12 touches, kicked a really handy goal. I like the way he can intercept mark, but then compete at ground level as well. He rebounds the ball nicely, so he might be one to watch. And we know that the Redlegs sort of blood their youth pretty early and maybe shift them back later in the year, but Evans could be one to stay the course. The other one I'll mention is Patrick Weckett, of course, who turned out again for the Eagles. He debuted at senior level last year. Didn't find the goals again this week, but we know that he's a high flyer and a pretty promising prospect nonetheless.
Yeah, and of course, it's a week off this weekend in the Sample and Sample Women's amid the AFL's gather round. So, of course, for anyone in South Australia, obviously, if you've got a ticket, should be a fantastic sort of weekend there in South Australia. So make sure you check that out. Not at under-18s level. So plenty still to watch there. Let's head over from South Australia to Western Australia, where there's the 2023 waffle season got underway, of course. And there are a couple of senior debutants. So run us through who was able to crack into the league side.
Yeah, well, it was pretty exciting to see the announcement that Riley Hardiman was going to debut for Swan Districts. He was pretty handy coming off half back, had 10 touches in a 1-point loss to East Perth. We know his running ability is really good. He's got a raking left foot kick as well. So it's going to be good to see how he goes at that level. He's a little bit light on, but yeah, as I said, those top traits that he has are pretty handy. And then following on from that, of course, on Saturday, Colton Tholstrup debuted for Subiaco. We knew he was in the frame. He had a pretty good preseason with the senior boys there for the Lions. And on debut, he kicked 1 goal 3 from 14 touches as Subiaco beat Perth. So a really good start from him. And he's a powerful unit. He's going to match it with a lot of those bigger bodies there at senior level. So I think of you know, all the top draft prospects in WA. He's probably one who really suits that style of play. And yeah, I guess it showed in his first game.
And of course, moving from the senior level down to Colts level, who were some of the players that impressed across those games?
Yeah, there were a lot of brothers of and some family connections as well. Starting, of course, with Claremont. They beat West Perth pretty convincingly. And Sam Van Rooyen, of course, the brother of Jacob, kicked 3 goals. There's also Bailey Banfield, who had 22 touches. He's a father-son prospect for West Coast. Drew Banfield, his father. Moving on, East Perth as well had a pretty handy win over Swan Districts. Darcy Craven had 27 touches to lead the way there. Will Cassidy, another big ball winner with 25 disposals and a goal. And big Bailey Maxwell as well had 16 touches and kicked a goal. So pretty handy. There's a bit of a boil over as East Freo beat Peel. Of course, the reigning premiers, the likes of Dante Wiseman, kicked 5 for the winners there. James Spadanuda had 37 touches. Cohen Sanchez as well, 28 touches and a goal. The Sharks also have another Warner coming through in Ashton. So he's the brother of Chad and Corey. And another to watch. There's always going to be, I guess, some top draft prospects from that Thunder side. And Clay Hall's one of them. He had the ball 26 times. Ethan Logan had it 24. And it's worth mentioning, of course, Mitch Edwards, the ruck, who had 21 hitouts. We'll just, I guess, finish off the West Australian talk with Perth's win over Subiaco. Connor McDonald, another brother of course, coming back for the Demons. He had 23-3. Aiden O'Driscoll, brother of Nathan and Emma from Fremantle, he had 18-2. And big Elijah Scoble in defence had 18 disposals and 8 marks. Hardly lost an aerial contest there down back. So he could be one to watch. Of course, they've got a few returning, the Demons. So, a nice result for them, I guess, to start off the season.
Yeah, absolutely. The season is just getting started as we're just finishing up this podcast. So that's all we have time for on the latest edition of the Final Siren podcast. But of course, plenty to talk about. The action continues to roll on across the country, even with some leagues not in action because of the gather round, but have plenty more going on. So I've been your host, Peter Williams. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure as always. Looking forward to catching a bit more footy on the weekend.
Yeah, and you can catch all our analysis and everything else you want to see from the action across the country on Rookie Me Central. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You can subscribe to us on all your favourite streaming services to never miss an episode. So that's it for now. We hope you all tune in next week.